If you want to learn something new, would you rather learn it on your own, from a random teacher, or from folks who are the best of the best in that skill? I think I know which option most of you would choose. That's made possible by MasterClass. In recent months, they've added classes from the likes of Ava DuVernay, who gives us tips on how to reframe our thinking in all walks of life. One of our personal favorites recently was the one-on-one time we got with Amy Poehler in her class on preparing to be unprepared. So good. With Ava DuVernay. With over 180 world-class instructors and a 30-day money-back guarantee for new members, there's no reason not to get started today. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/hardthings. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/hardthings. Masterclass.com/hardthings.
Okay, so you know I love good wordplay. And Third Love is crushing their wordplay here. When you have a bra that pinches or slips or just isn't comfortable at all, or is comfortable but isn't your style, you've got problems. How excited was Third Love when they thought of problems? Well done, Third Love. I see you. When you wear Third Love bras, you've got no problems. They fix the problem of size exclusivity with their famous half-cup sizes that revolutionized the industry by giving more options to find a bra that fits. And they fixed the problem of guessing what bra will fit you with their virtual fitting room and other helpful guides, a bra size chart, a bra 101 education section that's basically an FAQ for all your burning questions, and a ton of great reviews from real people. My sister just texted me, 99 problems, but pinching isn't one. It's time to get your problem solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code PODCAST15.
They stopped asking directions to places they've never been.
Hello, world.
Hi.
Hello, world.
Today on We Can Do Hard Things, we are talking about help.
Help.
Help. Sister, tell
help
us.
Me, Rhonda. Help me, Rhonda.
Help me, Rhonda.
Help. I need somebody.
Help.
Allison's going to cut all of this.
I hope she doesn't, because I'm trying to launch my career.
Tell us about Alice this week.
Okay, so this thing happened this week that I was telling Glennon about yesterday, because it was an insight into myself that my daughter provided.
They do that, don't they? They're little mirrors.
They do.
Yeah.
It's really the most unfortunate part is that you're like, it's right there in front of my face. like when I'm screaming at Bobby, you need to learn to regulate your emotions.
Yes, totally. I used to do with Tish. Why is she so dramatic?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So Alice is currently in this camp that basically I can only assume was started in the 60s, and they just codified the camp manual, and it's just been the same ever since. So it's like friendship bracelets and dodgeball and capture the flag.
Aww.
And more friendship bracelets.
I want that camp.
So she is trying to work on this. It was very simple. She's laying on my bed and she's trying to put these two bracelets together. And this is not complicated. She just has to fold the two bracelets together so that they're one.
Okay.
And she is trying and trying. And it's very clear to me that this just like one tiny fold with her hand will solve her problem. And so I'm like, I'm just going to get in there and do it. Like, it's impossible for me to watch her do this and just not be able to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And she gives me the death stare of like, I double dare you to help me with this. Yes. Like, you back off, lady. She wants none of it. And so I have to physically remove myself from the situation because I just can't sit beside her and watch her struggle with this. So I move to a different chair.
Oh,
and I'm
God.
Just like, okay, babe, you just, you know, Godspeed with that. And she for like 10 minutes, she's working on this thing. And then after 10 minutes, she goes, Mom, I need help, but I don't want help.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, yes. Yes, I understand that very well.
Yes,
because that
Yoda,
just describes
yes.
a third of my entire life.
Really?
Like, she wasn't describing what she needed next. It was like she was grappling with this weird
human
feeling
condition.
In her.
She's like, this human condition. Yes.
Yes. Uh-huh. She was just still messing with it, and she just needed me to know that she was holding both things is true.
Yes.
That she understood she in fact needed help, but she also understood that she didn't want it. And I just thought we should talk about that because
yes.
I felt very much like that described a lot of my life,
mm.
where I'm in a situation where I intellectually understand that the help is necessary. But I am not comfortable with the asking or the receiving of it in that instance.
And it's interesting because when you told me this story, you told me it like I was going to totally also relate and understand.
Yeah. Like I've just solved all of our problems.
Yeah.
This is the condition we live under.
And I was like, I don't get it. I usually, when we discover, you know, diametrically mm-hmm. opposed human truths, which we believe in, right? Holding two things at once.
Mm-hmm. The paradox of humanity.
Yes, I always agree. But this one in particular, I feel like I'm always asking for help. Right? Like that's just-
Also feel like you're always asking for help.
I feel like where your go-to would be to dig in and not want to ask for help. My go-to is to like immediately ask for help, like before even trying kind of-
I mean, yes, the remote, the refrigerator, and God help me with iPhone maps.
Oh,
God help me with, I can't.
Maps are hard and phones and remotes.
I mean, honey, I have sent you videos on how to do it.
And you sit with me over and over again.
I try to be patient.
Tutorials of and you, the...
You, oh, wait, about how to use the remote?
She cannot.
And the thing is that Abby does it over and over again. Like, she sits me down and patiently talks me through the remote. But
you're not listening, are you?
No! Here's what I need to tell you about that. Okay, I thought this through recently. So when you sit me down at the couch and you say, honey, let's talk through this remote thing again.
Mm-hmm.
I panic when people talk to me directly. Mostly when people speak to me directly, when they look me in the eye and try to tell me something,
mm-hmm.
especially when they're trying to help me or something. Outside, I look like I'm paying attention. Inside, I'm trying to look grateful and present, mm-hmm. but I'm panicking. I'm mm-hmm. panicking inside. So when you sit me down and say, I'm going to tell you about this remote again,
uh-huh.
I am trying to appear to look as if I'm concentrating and understanding you. That's mm-hmm. all. But on the inside of myself, I am thinking, oh my God, this is the 50th time she's told me this shit. You better look attentive and grateful, Doyle. Like, does this look attentive and grateful? Smile, look as if you are deeply processing new information. And then it's over. And then she stops, and then it's over. It's like, this is the problem with the map thing. Like when I ask for directions
mm-hmm.
to someone on the street, like this happened to me like 2 weeks ago. I had to stop and ask this nice looking man how to get to the street that was not registering on my stupid ass phone map. And this dude gestures in a particular direction and says something about north.
Oh, no.
We're not looking for north.
No. So I'm looking at him and I'm grateful that he stopped to tell me the things. On the outside, right? But on the inside, I'm thinking, what? Who the hell am I, Lewis and fucking Clark? Like Amelia Earhart or some shit?
Do I look like an astrologer to you? Left or right, buddy?
North.
Left or right?
But I can't say that because this is kind of him. So on the outside, I'm nodding and yes-yesing and uh-huhing. And I'm trying to look like I've got this now. But no, I do not got this now. I've got it less than I did when I approached this cartographer.
I think probably the reason why he was using the words north and maybe south is because there's the Pacific Ocean.
You know, I don't want to start with oceans, all right? Like, yeah, but oceans?
But we live close to the ocean.
See, here she goes again. So now do I look grateful and like I'm processing and new information? And we are,
there's only one direction north can be from the context of the ocean and one direction south can be.
Right. I get that. You are also a
cartographer. No, you don't. You're not getting it.
What about on a Zoom meeting? You know me on Zoom meetings.
Oh, yeah.
I am on a Zoom meeting about very important things with a lot of very important people. And I never one time think my job on the Zoom meeting is to pay attention and listen to this new information. Okay. I think my job is to appear to be listening and paying close attention. So I'm looking at my own face and I'm thinking, yes, that looks like the face of someone who is calm, but concerned and serious, but kind.
Look how professional I look. I was nailing this.
Yes, and who belongs here, but it's also grateful to be here and is being so supportive with my face of all of the other Zoom square faces. And I look like I'm really taking in new information. But if you asked me at the end of this meeting what the new information is, I would have absolutely no clue.
You'd be like, something about North.
Anyway, that's the point. I'm going to work on this. I'm just trying to get you to understand what's happening in my body. I'm not at the fix it part. I'm just telling you, I am panicking on the inside when you talk to me. What about you, sister?
Well, I mean, it's gone in a vaguely different direction than I imagined, but I think what we're dealing with here is maybe a more specific issue. A, I think on Zooms, you're staring at your face and saying, is this the type of face of a person who is getting this?
It's being self-conscious.
Yes. Huh. I think with the remotes and the directions, I think it's because I can hear two directions. Go up there, turn left, and then take the next right. And then everything after that, I'm just pretending to look gracious because there's zero chance I'm getting more than two things.
Right.
I think it's probably the same with the remote. I think you probably get the first 1.5 steps and then you're like, well, that's it. So maybe it's an attention thing. I don't know.
It's a panic thing. I have it. What I like about you and I think is different about us is I think there's like a little bit of shame. If you go deeper, there's something shame involved. Mm-hmm. It's like, I should know how to do this thing. Like when Abby hands me the phone and asks me to find something because she's driving. If I could explain to you how upsetting it is to me, I know she needs me to do it. I can't do it. Like I cannot. I'm zooming in. I'm like, is this one of those screens where you do your fingers? I'm pushing the little dots and it's not. I mean, it's funny, but it's not funny for me in the moment. I get really upset. And so my go-to is to just, I can't do it and quit. But your go-to is to never quit, to never stop. So I just want to hear about your, because I'm working on, give yourself a second. Like just, I tell Abby sometimes, like she'll jump in to try to help me with something. I'm like, it takes me a little bit longer than it does with you. If you want me to figure those types of things out, just give me a minute. I need to not be under immediate pressure. And then I can like give myself a minute between the panicking and the begging for help.
Yeah.
I can try.
Yeah, I get that. And I think it is that deeper level because after Alice said that to me, I was thinking, I feel the exact same way, but it feels like it's a specific type of asking for help. Because you and I both, Glennon, are incredibly efficient and resourceful in things like we'll walk into a grocery store and if we need tomatoes, we will not look for the tomatoes. We will go up to a person and say, can you please point me towards the tomatoes? Because that just makes sense. Why am I going to spend 5 minutes looking when I can just ask you? So that kind of help, easy breezy, love it. Directions, happy to ask. But I think it's the specific instance, like exactly where Alice was, that I'm particularly allergic to, which is people seeing me needing help before I have determined whether I need help, whether I'm going to ask for help, because there's no agency in that moment, right? Like if I have recognized that I need help and I am having the agency to ask for the help, then that is a position where I am activated and I am directional. If I'm struggling with something and someone notices that emotionally, a job, no matter what it is, I am allergic to people seeing me struggling.
That is so true about you.
Yeah. So that's what Alice's thing was. I was witnessing her struggling before she had made the determination whether she needed help or wanted help.
Yes.
And that is, for apparently both of us, the sweet spot of ultimate vulnerability.
Well, yes, it's about vulnerability. It's about weakness. Yeah. Weakness, not like in your perspective, being a bad thing. Like, I can't, oh my God, they're seeing me not be able to do this. Mm-hmm. It's about control.
And I'm not in an active position of being like, okay, so I've done the analysis and I do in fact need help and I'm accessing my resources. And, you know, it's just the like, the struggle area.
Yeah, it's control too. Mm-hmm.
You said something.
Power.
You said something earlier that really rang true. It's becoming self-conscious, like to become aware of yourself. And then, sister, what you're saying is like not being able to actually perform or complete or do whatever task is. Mm-hmm. And it's this intense vulnerability of shame or feeling not good enough or you don't have enough agency.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about so many times, like I'm actually remembering so many times where I feel like in real time, you are like overwhelmed or exhausted or whatever it is, which it's so interesting because for me in those moments, I really want someone to be like, what is needed?
Mm-hmm.
But when I say to you, you seem exhausted or what can I do? It's, you get mad.
Yeah.
You actually get mad.
Yes.
And I see your body change. I see your face change. It's like I've called you out. Like I've noticed something that is causing you shame and you reject.
Yeah, that is correct. It's like you busting in, open the door on someone and they're naked. And you're like, get the hell out of here, which I never do because I have no problem being naked. So that's not a good analogy. But if to the average person that would feel vulnerable and ick, it's like that versus, you know, coming out and being like, I need you to bring me some clothes.
Yes. But here's the question.
Because that's me telling you what I need instead of you noticing what I need.
Yes. Mm-hmm. My head is exploding right now. That feels just so lonely to me too, because I have this, we have one kid who I feel like was like this for a really long time. Like this kid would come to us, sit down at the dinner table and say, I want you to know, my person and I broke up. It was 3 months ago that we broke up and I went through some hard times. This person lived with us and was our child. Okay. I went through some hard times. And it was ups and downs, and I worked through it.
I've created a PowerPoint.
Yes.
So that you understand what's going on with
me. And right now, it's just no further questions. Everything's fine. I'm on the other end. I'm all as well. And that we just had to, okay, all right. But then I felt like, oh, this person thinks that life is something to figure out and control and get, and before you present it to people. But isn't that really lonely? Because isn't it that time when you're naked in the bathroom or whatever, like, you know, metaphorically, isn't that when you most need people to sit with you before you've figured it all out? Or is that just a way of being that's not universal?
It's wild because when you said that, I remembered that in my divorce, that's exactly what I did. That I did my three best friends. We had gone through granted it was fairly swift, but it was a couple months there of deep misery. And after the couple months was over, I called a summit to my house and I was like, I'm going to need you, all three of you, to come to my house because I have something to tell you. And they all came to my house and I delivered this news that here's what happened. I am getting a divorce. Here are the top level items you need to know about. And that is the story. I'll be taking questions at the end. Like, it was
no vulnerability.
And there was nothing through it. It was like, it was exactly like you said with your kid.
So it was like nothing through it. What do you mean by nothing through it? Like, it was not.
There was no contact about, like, in the sorrow, in the,
right,
in it. It was like, I now have data to relate to you about the state of the union.
It's like this deep need for a human being to need to have had overcome something in order to share it. The allergicness to true vulnerability.
Yeah. But the messy middle.
But it's interesting because you do take help. I think that Glennon, you are more capable of it, which I think is interesting because you've married me, who's always scanning the world for people who need help.
That's right. It's like, I need freaking Captain America.
If you're ever going to get a flat tire, if you're ever going to be thirsty, if you're ever going to need a haircut, just generally be around Abby. She's going to do all of those things for you.
But I'm like, sister, I like will not.
Do you still feel like you're that way?
Yeah, I actually used to not be this way. I never took help. I would just quit. So like, before I got sober, that's how I was. I would try things and they wouldn't work out and I would just quit them. Just be like, nope, that's just not the thing. And now, since I have been sober, I like have a relentlessness that I never knew lived inside of me that I just don't ever quit.
But like, you do ask for help now.
Yeah. I have like kind of a blend a little bit.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't actually say I ask for help.
She procures help.
Yeah. I that's probably a little bit more of.
Yeah. You're so right. You don't ask for help. You just arrange help.
Yeah.
Which is an active thing. That's the difference. It's like, I am in control and know what I need. I'm going to get it. I truly think there is something about that middle place where you need it and you haven't made a decision as to what you need or even identified that you are struggling.
Yes.
Okay.
That is the place.
All right. So then here's my question about that. If you never seek other resources when you're in your messy middle, then the only power, the only choices, the only options, the only resources you are ever depending on is your own, what you already know.
Yes.
That's what's confusing me about it. It's like when I used to say, writing's my therapy, and I'm a writer. I write, I'm therapies all the time. I'm always in therapy. I'm a writer. And then you were like, okay, but the only thing about that is that there's no therapist involved.
Yeah.
Right? So no, writing is not therapy. I guess what I'm saying is when you are at that like beautiful place, which that breaking point, I think of that point as so luscious and fertile because you come to the end of your own power. And then there's like every other, all you have these people in your life, you have people with different perspectives, you have friends, you have God or whatever your higher power is, you have all of these, you know, metaphorical angels who are like right there. Like I picture it like right on the edge of waiting for you to break, waiting for you to break, waiting for you to break. And then you break, you're like, I can't do it. I need help. It's like, whether you do that outwardly or just inwardly, it's like rush to you is how it feels to me. And I know that's my weirdness, but I have felt that over my life as opposed to the way you two are doing it, which feels like you're in like a conference room by yourself with a bunch of whiteboards in your own brain.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's correct.
It's like
that is an accurate assessment.
It's like a killing.
We're like, well, the board is meeting to solve this problem. Who's present? I am.
Me. I second.
I second that motion. Well, it's unanimous. This is what we're doing.
Okay. But it's just all ego. I know that that's what has helped me so much in my sobriety is like the killing off of the ego, the ability to say that my life has become unmanageable.
Right. That's the first step.
But even that, I think that I am moving towards that. But even that, I have determined that my life is unmanageable. It is not. Truly, I think that's the difference.
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The board has met. The board has made an assessment. And the board determines that its own life is unmanageable. Like when you're talking about when I get mad, Glennon, you're like, I have determined that your life is unmanageable.
Yes.
And that is the place where it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
That's a little too close.
Yeah, I hear that. I guess maybe if you came to me and said well, that's what an intervention is, right? I mean, many people have come to me over my life and said,
you're like, that is par for the course, right?
We believe your life is unmanageable. Yeah, 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 yeah. The opportunities for giving amazing life-changing gifts have just begun.
And yes, diapers are a life-changing gift. Imagine you're a first-time parent struggling with time management and financial burdens. Don't really have to imagine. I remember it directly. And all the challenges of your first child. And then you get a huge shipment of diapers funded by all your family and friends. That's a good feeling.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's exactly what Pampers is doing with their diaper stash. I love this so much. It's an online diaper fund. So you can contribute to a diaper stockpile and help ensure it never runs out.
And one of the most difficult things about buying diapers for others is making sure that you guess the right fits and sizes. And with Pampers Diaper Fund, all that guesswork goes away.
So if there's a new parent or expecting parent in your life, you will be making their lives a lot easier and showing them how many people are excited for their huge milestone.
Organizing a diaper stash is easy. Go to diaperstash.pampers.com to set up a fund and give the ultimate group gift. Love it.
Love it.
Love it. Love it.
Okay, so here's a question. When are some times, do you know of any times, besides me coming to you in a work-related thing and saying like, this is unmanageable or whatever, what are some times when you have felt someone has caught me in my messy middle and I am not ready for this? Are there times where someone's just reaching out, but it feels like untenable to you because you have not decided yet? Like, I'm just wondering, what are those things that it's touching?
I think it's touching that I don't have a handle on it, that I could be doing better, that I'm not in control, mm-hmm. that someone's worried about me. Like,
say more about that. Because I'm like, someone's worried about me. You just said it with the most disdain. Someone's worried about me.
Exactly. Worry about yourself, asshole. Literally, if I'm like moving a box and John is walking by and I can tell he's like, I could carry that box. I'm like, I got it. I got it. And I'm like carrying the box of like this huge. If he was to come and just pick up the box, I'd be like, thank you. But if someone is watching me struggle either physically or emotionally and witnessing it, I can't handle. But I am thinking of one, like, I'm not impervious to this. I remember a time, like, when I'm thinking about when I got caught, like, kind of called in on something in college when Bonzo... when I was like stealing people's food all the time and there were notes all over my house. It was like, whoever's stealing the food, please stop. You know, I was living with 12 girls and I'm 100% sure everyone knew it was me, but no one, it was the elephant in the room. No one talking about it. Mm-hmm. And there were notes where in the pantry, please stop stealing everyone's food. Cause I was purging and stuff. Mm-hmm. And she sat me down and was like, okay, so it's you. Let's just talk about it. We know it's you. We have to stop this and what's going on. And I was actually very receptive to that, which is
really,
yeah.
So what was different about it? I mean, Lauren Bonzo is such a badass. Imagine being that direct in college. Okay.
Yes.
So she sits you down and says, you have a problem. You're stealing all of our food, which, P.S., is a very embarrassing thing because I also have been caught stealing everyone's food.
Yeah, it is humiliating. Yeah.
So why do you think in that moment, because that was someone calling you out mid-struggle, you did not go and say, I have a problem. I have an eating disorder and I'm stealing everyone's food. Why is that a thing?
I think because I know that she loves me completely. I know that she respects me completely. It isn't like, oh, this poor thing. You know, like I think the like, no pity oh, poor involved. Thing situation I'm severely allergic to. Knowing that she respects me, knowing that it was just to me. It's not like they called a house meeting and called me out. It was friend to friend. Mm-hmm. I would never question her faith in me and respect for me. It felt like two capable people problem solving together as opposed to, oh, I pity you. You have a problem.
Okay. So it's a power. It's a power dynamic thing too. It's like someone coming to you as an equal, as a problem solver, as opposed to I am above you seeing that you have a problem. And okay. So like when I come to you, which don't worry, I haven't done it for a year or so. I'm like, you've she's on her own. How can I do that better? Because you do so much and sometimes I feel like I'm worried or if there are ways that I can help or what am I doing that's making you freeze up like a statue that Bonzo did better? Seriously. Do you think that I think that you are a workaholic? So when I say it, there's like a fixing or pitying thing involved?
Well, I think I probably am a workaholic. So I don't think that's like a news flash, probably. I mean, maybe I'm getting better. But I think it's because you're so desperate to help me that you're like, okay, here's what we're gonna do. We're going to hire this person to do this. We're going to do this thing. We're going to do. And I'm like, oh my God, now it's totally out of control.
Mm-hmm. Help and the conversation of power dynamics is really important. Mm-hmm. I bet if like I were walking in your house and I saw you struggle and I just like came over and I was like, hey, let me help you with that or whatever. You'd be like, okay. But there's a thing about it having a man needing to help you, a woman. Right. I think that there is this because you will never accept help from a dude.
Nope. There we go. We found my pride.
And so.
No. God help me.
Yeah.
If I'm on an airplane, planes are a freaking nightmare because they're so tall and they made these. They're like made against short people. Okay. So I have to.
Yeah. For Glennon, it's the overhead compartment.
It's the overhead compartment. Like I get on a plane and I think of my first book's title. I'm a carry-on warrior. I am a carry-on warrior. I can do this. Okay. So if I am putting that suitcase up in the carry-on bin and a man comes over and tries to help me,
God help
me. I swear to God, I will turn this plane around. Okay. If a woman helps me, I am her best friend for the rest of her life, right? Mm-hmm. Like if a man says sweetheart, calls me sweetheart, I will kill him. If a woman says sweetheart, best friend for life.
Yeah.
Yes. Power dynamic, right? There's some kind of help power dynamic. It's like some kind of help is the kind of help that helping's all about.
But it's interesting because even I would feel not allergic, but I think I can do almost anything, like really.
You do.
And that's one of my strengths and also one of my like biggest weaknesses. And so I will never take help from a dude, like ever.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
And I mean, even when I would be playing against, like we would have to play against boys on the national team to train. And I would play so fucking hard. And if anyone like fouled like one of my teammates, I would 2-foot tackle that fucker. Because I just did not want them to believe that we were weaker in any way. So I feel like this help conversation is about this like deep underlying like feeling of weakness and the relationship between power and gender. Like we put on all these roles as like women and men that then we're just fighting our whole lives against.
So is it like we can only accept help from people who we sense believe that we are equals.
Yes.
We need to sense that the person is coming to us from a place of what you said, two people who are equals solving a problem together.
Mm-hmm. And two people who have consensus over that this is a problem.
Yeah.
That's for me. Yeah. Like I have to, just from where I sit, be at the place where I'm like, I have a problem.
Yes.
Before someone can come in and help me with the problem.
That's right.
It is that place of struggle when I have not decided I need help, where someone wants to intervene and help me. And that is a threat to me.
Okay. So what is something that you need help with? If you had to think of one thing that you need in an area that you feel like you need help in, I can think of 12.
That we both need?
No, that each of you. Like Pod Squad, think about what, if you could have help in one area.
You can think of 12 for yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were putting it on us and I was starting to feel vulnerable.
No. I'm not having thought about you.
I was like, this is exactly what Sister was just talking about.
Oh, absolutely not. I'm not. No. Like, what's something that you could use some help in an area of your life?
Wow, this is really hard for me.
I think I need help in my house because in just our daily functioning, because John travels so much, mm-hmm. there's this extra, like, I'm trying to do work and life when that margin of what he does is gone. Mm. We're operating on such a thin margin of capacity mm-hmm. that then it's like, whoa, everything's to shit.
Yeah.
And so I think building in more margin in our life through some help so that it isn't always like we're always at a 9.5. So the tiniest little bump will take us to a 12. Mm-hmm. That would be helpful.
Cool. What about you?
I'm trying to figure out why this is so embarrassing.
You feel embarrassed?
Yeah.
Do you want to stop this?
No.
Okay.
Okay. This is something that just kind of came to me, but you know, like parental figures that have life experience that I feel like we are in a state of our life that I don't have somebody else to go to for like life advice, like what should we do here? How do we plan for the next 5 or 10 years?
Like, how do we raise grownups and how do we be this phase of our lives? Yeah, we don't have it. Yeah.
No, the biggest questions I'm asking right now are like, how do I be a better parent? I don't need like tactile help. Like I'm really good at doing stuff, but also I am very good at outsourcing. Mm-hmm. Like if we don't have something or I can't figure something out, I will call somebody that knows better. Yeah.
But like wisdom, you're
life wisdom.
That's really something that I need help with. That
like you need like a grandma.
Yes.
Be like, baby, this is what you do.
Yes. Or totally. Like also just don't worry about it. Right. You know, like that is real. That's real help to me, is somebody who can kind of take all of whatever worries I have and make them not so big.
I feel like I have that.
You do.
Quick math. The less your business spends on operations and multiple systems, the more margin you have and the more of your hard-earned money you get to keep. But with higher expenses than ever on things like materials and distribution, everything just costs more. That's why smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. You'll reduce IT costs, you'll cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems, and you'll improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, and expenses don't slow down, so why should you?
By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/hardthings netsuite.com/hardthings. That's netsuite.com/hardthings. When our youngest was little, when we'd had this trip, we'd go to the beach. I had this big bag, like a tote bag full of beach stuff, you know, the mom beach bag. Mm-hmm. And Emma would always
say, 1,500 snacks and a shovel.
Exactly. Exactly. And she would always say, can I help you? It was so sweet. Can I help you carry the bag? So she would put one of the handles on her shoulder. But she was like 13 inches shorter than me. Mm-hmm. So I'd be like, this bitch is not helping at all. Like, yeah.
She just made my load heavier.
It's just like worse because she's pretending to help, but she's all the way down there. I'm carrying it all still, but now I have to pretend that she's carrying
it. Now
I'm
carrying her body as well as the bag.
Exactly. But this is so cheesy, but I think about this all the time because I think everything is so heavy and I'm carrying all of this, my family, work, the world, all these things. And then I just think of whatever my idea of God is, I'm like the little Emma pretending to carry it. But actually none of the weight is really on me. And there's this higher power, which to me is this old lady with gray curly hair. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what her face looks like. She just has gray curly hair and a flowy outfit on. And she's really carrying the whole thing. Like, I'm not carrying any of it. It's none of it. I think I'm carrying it. I'm not carrying any of it. God's looking at me like, this bitch is complaining. She's got no weight. She doesn't even know it.
That's awesome. It's like the footprints in the sand. They always say, Jesus. Yeah. It's like the new meme is the footprints in the sand. And the graphic is like, this bitch, she's carrying it.
Oh, I'm so stressed. This is so hard. And God's like, I've got the whole bag. Just walk.
I love that. I mean, I think a lot of it has to do, too, with like being a burden. Mm-hmm. Like thinking that we're a burden on someone. And so when I always started thinking about this, and I read this social psychologist, Heidi Grant, wrote a book called Reinforcements, Harvard Business Review book. And it's all the research on help.
Mm.
Why we don't ask, why we should ask, what happens when we do, all this stuff. I feel like one of the reasons people don't ask for help is that we think that people don't want to help us, that we are bothering them or burdening them or whatever. Hmm. But actually, the research shows that our perception is completely wrong about this, that people are twice as likely to want to help us as we perceive them to be. And also, what's wild to me is that people like us more when they've helped us.
Yes, that makes sense to me.
That's right.
Because I'm saying to our kid who comes down to the dinner table and is like, it's done. It's all done. I'm like, oh my God, we just missed all of the stuff that makes us closer.
Mm-hmm.
You skipped over the entire part where we get to know each other better, where we build trust in each other, where we feel more deeply connected because you think this is some kind of a sufficiency contest. It's like we were about to take a road trip together and you took a plane. We were like getting packed up, the car packed up for this trip we were going to take where we were going to see all these sites and we were going to talk and we were going to talk. It was going to be annoying and take a long time, but it was going to be such a bonding experience. And you called us
from the airport
where you just landed and we're like, good news, I'm already here. And I was like, okay, that's efficient. But we've missed the whole trip together.
Missed the whole ride.
That's what we're doing here together, to be in those really vulnerable places together and not have a clue and then somehow get through it together, because self-sufficiency is a connection blocker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Such an awesome point and such a powerful analogy of the ride and the flight. Even on like the concrete little things. Even like letting your neighbor order pizza for your family when you're sick. The data shows that the helping someone else is one of the quickest, most effective ways that you feel better about yourself. Mm-hmm. And so asking and receiving help from people is most of the most effective ways to make them feel good. Mm-hmm. And it's like that Maya Angelou quote of people won't remember what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel.
Yes.
When you allow someone to help you, they feel good. Mm-hmm. And then they associate that good feeling with you.
Yes, because you feel powerful and you feel important and you feel necessary to that other person. It's one thing to feel like someone's impressive, like you, like, oh, wow, good job. Impressive. But that's different from feeling connected and needed. Like when my kid sits down and says it's done, I'm like, oh, they didn't need me at all. I'm not necessary at all here.
Yeah.
What's the point?
Yes, the necessary thing is beautiful. I was listening to a TED talk that this former kindergarten teacher, Miss Kim, gave about. It was all about what we have to learn from kids about asking for help. And she was talking about how as a first-time teacher, she was just waiting for the moment. Like when a kid, a kindergartner falls and they get hurt, they don't start crying. They look up and scan for a person they can trust. And if they find them and lock eyes with them, then they start crying. They won't cry until they have locked eyes with someone that they trust. And she said she kept seeing it happen with other teachers and she was waiting for the moment where it happened for her. And this little kid in her class, Sam, who was always so self-sufficient, he like wouldn't accept help in any way. And he fell down and he locked eyes with her and he burst out crying. And she was like, I am valued and needed. And you have just proven that I'm trustworthy to me by allowing yourself to crumble in front of me.
That's it.
Yeah. I wonder if part of his consciousness, I'm just like still on the power part of it. Like if he's like super efficient, he's like the go-getter in the class. He's like, I only trust the teacher here.
Yeah. You know? All like, the other assholes.
You're like that power differential.
Yeah.
In a marriage, in a business partnership with all of us, it's like, how do we cut through here? Like, how do you and I, Glennon?
I mean, I would be so honored if, and I don't know, you all witness a lot of my moments, I think, of my middle parts where I haven't figured it all out, but I would love to get a message from, and I feel like you do it now, and from a message from the middle is what we're calling this here. Like, that's like, I'm fucked. Those moments where you're just like, I haven't figured it all out yet. I'm just feeling lost or I'm feeling unmanageable or I'm whatever.
I just
those moments, a message from those moments I think would be interesting. And I also will promise to not try to figure anything out, just to be like here with you.
Yeah.
I wonder if something practical, because I think we all, at least speaking for myself, have to wait. Because it's hard for everyone. Everyone's struggling. Everyone, like work, family, everything. Everyone's a mess, right?
Right,
so we're almost like making a judgment call that ours has reached a higher level than yours to ask for help. And since everyone's drowning, it feels somehow like cutting in line to say you need help.
Yeah, but that's not it. It's not it.
I know.
It. Okay, okay.
Yeah, because
like, I know that's not it. I'm just saying that's how it feel.
Got it.
Right?
Yeah. Sorry.
And so I think a practical application of this might be in your friend groups, even in our work situation, which is like a friend and work thing, to like every week you actually have to bring one thing you're struggling with.
Mm.
Or you actually have to bring one thing that if you were to get help on, it would be this thing. Because it also goes to this other part of the research, which is this thing called the illusion of transparency, where we don't notice other people's need as much as they think we do. It's called the illusion of transparency, the research shows. And it's the tendency for people to overestimate the degree to which their personal mental state is known by others. And a tendency for people to overstate how well they understand others' personal mental state.
Wow.
So we are operating, this is universally true. We are operating in a world in which we think other people understand where we are and they think they understand where we are and we are both wrong.
Yes.
So this is where it comes from of like that idea of like, why aren't people helping me? They see I'm struggling. And no, they don't. Like they literally don't. We have to use our words because everyone thinks they know where someone else is. Mm-hmm. And everyone thinks someone else knows where they are. Mm-hmm. And no one does.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So then two things then. We need to report accurately.
Mm-hmm. From your own mouth. Yeah.
From your own mouth with someone, right? Or like even to self might be good. Like even in writing.
Self first. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Report to self what you need. Mm-hmm. Or to another, what you need.
Not even what you need. Maybe you don't know what you need, but like what you're struggling with.
Right.
And then, what's not happening.
And then believing if you share it with someone that it's a gift, not a burden.
That's right.
Because we're not saying you go to your friend who's also dripping with children and say, I need someone to cook me dinner 5 days a week. You're just saying I'm struggling. And then that other person, you think you shouldn't bring it to your friend because your friend is also struggling. And then you're just adding another burden to your friend. But actually your friend more than anything needs somebody else to say, mm-hmm. That's why people love this podcast. Yeah.
Because we're just a fucking mess.
We're a cry for help. Like we are.
Wink twice, Pod Squad, if you really
need exactly. I feel like generally the Pod Squad doesn't feel like this is a burden when we talk about things like this. It feels like a gift because people feel less alone. And that lessens our struggle, just the knowing that we're not alone.
And it might give somebody the ability to help.
Who has some
which could
time.
Be something Oof. That's really good for them in a mm-hmm. life full of chaos and uncontrollables.
I also think there's that, you know how they always say, check on your strong friends. I think that also in this book that I read about this thing called the diffusion of responsibility, which is the more people that can help you. So the wider your network, your support system seems to be, the least likely it is that anyone will help you.
Oh, this is like the phenomenon of
too many cooks
in the kitchen. It's the phenomenon of about how when children are swimming, the more adults that are watching, the more likely there'll be an accident.
If everyone's in charge, no one's in charge.
Right. Yep.
So if you're somebody who appears to have a lot of people who could help you, it's even more important that you ask for help because data shows that you are the least likely anyone is going to ever intervene on. Mm-hmm. You need to actually directly ask, mm-hmm. which is odd, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about this whole like interpersonal struggle with help, but then there's this actual bucket. If you need practical help for your business, for your whatever you're doing, there are these three things that are the ways you will actually get help. So this isn't like I'm struggling and I need to get sober. My family's falling apart or whatever. But mm-hmm. three practical things if you actually need tangible, concrete help. Hmm. One, I'm calling say no to the vague fave.
Okay? Vague fave. Okay.
Yes. All right. This is this idea of when someone writes to you and they're like, yeah, we should get coffee.
Oh, God help
or
me.
I'd like to pick your brain.
No.
Or can we connect? These are hard no's.
Right.
They are bad for you. They mm-hmm. don't, like, people do not, they want to know what they're being asked mm-hmm. and they want you to be specific and they are demotivated when they don't understand the impact. Mm. So you need to say, I want to ask of you X. Mm-hmm. And if you do, it will result in Y. Okay. Mm. That's what you do. Also, this is terrible news. Number two is you have to do it over the phone or in person.
What?
Because, yes, you are 34 more times likely to get help if you ask over the phone or in person than you are if you write an email. 34 times. It takes 200 emails to reach the same success rate as six in-person requests.
You're kidding me.
Okay, but that's a boundary thing. You can just call people, show up at their house.
Well, no, I'm talking about if you're in a situation where you are having the grand opening of your business, mm-hmm. you send out a mass email to everyone on your list. Mm-hmm. You have to do that 200 people, mm. or you get on the phone and you say, hey, I know you're busy. I've been working really hard on this, and it would mean so much to me if you would come to my grand opening, hmm. and I'd celebrate your no as much as I celebrate your yes. I just want you to know that having you there would mean a lot to me.
Yeah, that's cool. I like to celebrate your no as much as your yes. We always do that, Sissy.
Yes, we always tell women. You taught me that. Honor, I always do that because it's true.
We will honor your no because that's equally badass.
I am an outdoors person. I'm a big fan of places that are rich in culture, history, and art. And most importantly, I'm a former resident of the great state of Oregon, which is why I want to tell you about Travel Oregon. When you find a guide through Travel Oregon, you'll be able to leave the planning to the local guides and experts, and this is a game changer. Instead of trying to find a good hiking trail and hope for the best, you can get a tour guide to bring you to the must-see spots, ensure you're provided with all the necessary safety gear, and show you all the amazing little nuggets you might miss on your own. And because the guides and tour companies are small businesses, they're led by incredibly passionate people. You can find experts who speak multiple languages and know about a variety of cuisines. Or if you want a biking tour, you can find local guides to help you to customize your tour. There's so much to explore. Learn more at traveloregon.com.
Don't you think it goes with the whole idea of like diffusion of responsibility? If you know you're on a mass email list, yeah. you don't think it is important that you are there. That's you right. just think it's important that some people are there. And we think they've got it covered. Look, they have this huge network. It actually doesn't matter if about me.
Totally.
But if someone says, you matter, this yes. is why you matter. Here's what your impact will be on me. Suddenly, again, the greatest, quickest way for me to feel good about myself is to help someone. You mean I can help someone?
Right. What I just want to emphasize there is I don't think it's about the phone call. I think it's about the personalization. So whatever that means, because for example, if someone called me, I would be like, this person doesn't know who I am. They don't respect any of my boundaries. They know, they don't care that I hate the phone. Like, so I don't think it's about the phone. I think it's, I think what that study is saying, what's underneath the thing is it's the personalization that's
the
tailored
showing
that to
that your
person.
Particular help matters.
You're also a writer.
A person helps.
Right.
You're also a writer. So you prefer to write. Things.
Okay. So personalization, say no to the vague fave, make it personal.
Yes. And then also, I feel like some people try to think that if you do this for me, I'll do this for you, that that's like an evening, that's making it less of a burden.
Oh, I hate
but
that.
The studies show that when you make it an exchange, like, if you do this, I'd love to, I don't know, what do people like to do? Take you to lunch. I'd love to, I will do it for you, whatever it is, that it actually diminishes. You making an offer connected to your request diminishes the likelihood they will do it for you.
Yeah.
Because again, people want to be able to feel effective and helpful. Mm-hmm. They don't want whatever it is that you're willing to give.
That's
in
interesting.
Return.
So that's what's quid pro quo.
Yeah, it feels icky is the only way that I can describe that one. If somebody says, I really need you to do this, it feels like I could, my best self could step up to that. But if somebody says to me, if you do this, I will post your whatever. Or if I do this, if you do this, I will. It feels like my worst self is being invited forward. Mm-hmm. Like I'm trying to get something instead of give something.
Well, it's a manipulation.
Which makes me feel not so good.
Yeah, it's a manipulation.
Right. And if you do need something, you would rather have it be like, I helped you. Now I know in the future, since we have a relationship that's now built on this, since I now, the data shows, feel closer to you since I've helped you, I will then organically reach out to you if I need something because I feel closer to you.
Yes.
Not, because I did this for you, I want you to do this for me. It's yes, just a relationship thing. So I think they're all helpful things on helps, but just, this wasn't in the research, but I just think anecdotally, there's also this boy who cried help phenomenon where I do feel like I have certain people in my life that if they say, I need your help, I will quite literally drop everything and be like, this is a first class emergency. Mm-hmm. I will do anything right now. Mm-hmm. And then I have some people in my life that say, I need help. I'm like, give it 20 minutes.
Yes.
Yep. It's not going to be a thing. Mm-hmm. So I do feel in all this effort to ask for help, it's like concentrated family time. It's like vital for health and joy, but it should be used sparingly. Like when you actually
need it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I like the idea of God.
Why do you like the idea of God? Connie?
Because.
Tell us again.
Because the reason I like the idea of God is because I don't have to worry about that. Like about I people? Can say help 49,000 times a day and do. I am with Liz Gilbert about, you know, she talked about it on her episode about how every minute she's just like, I can't do this. Can you do it? I can't do this. Yeah. Can you do it to God all
Bump
day?
God.
Yeah. Like, I can't do this meeting. I can't do this phone call. I can't order pizza directly. Can you just do everything all day? And then you just, you never run out of helps. So many helps.
God is right? forever helps. You right. Maybe you should try that with the remote, Glennon. Have you tried that? As God's help not. With the remote?
God's like, bitch, figure out that remote for God's sake, for myself's sake. Okay, love bugs. What's going to be our next right thing here? I think that it would be cool for all pod squatters just to think about if.
What they need help with?
Yeah. Like what area of their life are they in the messy middle of? That they haven't figured out what's needed, but they just know that something is. Help-wise.
Two parts. Figure out what you need help with and maybe share it with one person.
Yeah. Or maybe they could share it with us. They could call us.
Yeah.
Because wouldn't it be cool if we had like category? What if everybody says the exact same thing? I just do. I want to know what the pod squad feels in the messy middle of, like what they need the most help with.
Yes.
Right? So call us.
747-200-5307. 747-200-5307.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be cool if everybody told us what they needed help with and then we could somehow make a whole help encyclopedia? Okay. We love you, Pod Squad. Thanks for helping us through this really freaking weird, hard life. We love you so much.
We love you.
See you next time.
Bye.
I give you Tish Melton and Brandi Carlile.
I walked through fire, I came out the other side. I chased desire, I made sure I got what's mine. And I continue to were adventurers and heartbreaks on that. A final destination we lack. We stopped asking directions to places they've never been. And to be loved, we need to be known. We'll finally find our way back home. And through the joy and pain that our lives bring, we can do hard.
Things is produced in partnership with Cadence 13 Studios. Be sure to rate, review, and follow the show on Apple Podcasts, Odyssey, or wherever you get your podcasts. Especially be sure to rate and review the podcast if you really liked it. If you didn't, don't worry about it. It's fine.